Jeannie Flavelle's Hot Commodity Podcast Series, empowering clients with commercial intelligence, supply chain expertise, and risk management solutions.
Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Mike Coughlin, President and CEO of McKinney Flavelle. Today is October 20th, 2017, and welcome to our Hot Commodity Podcast. Today we'll be talking about corn and cocoa. I'm joined today by Nicole Thomas, Vice President of McKinney Flavelle. Hello, Nicole.
Hello, Michael.
How are you?
I'm good. How's life out in sunny California right now?
Well, it's actually much better. As you know, we've been dealing with the fires, and that's becoming more under control. So things are good, and it's a happy Friday. And I got to say something, Nicole. Was it last week you were giving me a hard time about the U.S. national game, and you were trying to say the big game was the Chiefs game, which I don't know if you saw last night, but did the Chiefs win?
No, they didn't. But you want to talk about an exciting game. If anyone had checked that out, saw the last five or six plays, it's amazing to see a quarterback able to make a game-winning touchdown six times in a row. But I think that's about where we're at with the cut. But you know, it's funny you mentioned that game. Just as exciting as that, Michael, is looking at the corn futures market right now.
Got it. What's going on?
Well, you know, we've been talking about whether or not we hit the bottom for corn futures. And for the most part, it's definitely felt that way. We've had a hard time breaking through support on some of the corn contracts. But here we are about a minute before the close, and we are pushing those support levels, with December corn getting very close to $3.45, and March corn, March 18 corn, near that $3.58 support level. So by the end of this podcast, I should be able to give you a little more indication on that. But from a technical standpoint, very exciting corn market this afternoon.
Sounds like it. And a lot of our listeners are very interested in that as they look to either side, look at the coverage as you go into the new crop. So we'll look forward to letting everyone know what our take is as this thing closes a little later today.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting. Now, what about the world of cocoa? It sounds like there's some interesting things going on there too, perhaps?
Well, yes, absolutely. There's a couple things I'd like to talk about. But first, you know, my dad, you know, when I started doing or being involved in cocoa 15 years ago, my dad was so excited. He said, Mike, if I told you when you were five that you would be involved in chocolate, you said I was crazy. And it's absolutely right, because I do have a sweet tooth. So I love the world of cocoa and chocolate. And a few of the things that are pretty popular right now are hot on the news side. Number one, Q3 grinds. We saw that for several years on chocolate consumption, we've been kind of waning. We were at a pretty strong click the last 10 years prior to that with chocolate consumption beating any downturn in the economy. But Q3 grinds came out across the world. We had the EU up 3%, Malaysia up 3.7%. North America grind just came out, and though the expectation was 2 to 3%, it was only up 0.68%. And then finally, Asia coming out at 12.9%, which the industry thought would be closer to 8 or 9. So all in all, you know, we're seeing some recovery in chocolate consumption. Maybe not the levels some had hoped, but definitely in the right direction. And I think it gives a lot of large chocolate manufacturers doing a great job marketing the product in North America in particular, and parts of Europe.
Yeah,
and
how finally can you not like chocolate? I mean, really?
No, and I'll tell you, if back when I was a kid, some of these chocolate companies had promoted as healthy as it is, boy, I tell you, I wouldn't have gotten such a hard time from my parents about it. So
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, what about pricing? I mean, I've heard farm gate prices were announced in the Ivory Coast and Ghana, two major cocoa bean producing areas. What do you think? Have we got some ideas on what that farm gate price may be?
Yeah, both Ivory Coast and Ghana, two largest producers, announced their price, and they took a different approach, each one. Ivory Coast, they slashed the farm gate price for this new season to 700 CFAs, which is a substantial amount lower than the previous year, and partly because, you know, we've seen the bean market go down from the 3,000s to under 2,000 year on year. So they're taking that in consideration. There was some concern about overproduction as we had a surplus this last go-around at the end of the crop on a worldwide basis. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. From the Ghana side, they actually kept the farm gate price level at 7,600 CEDIAs for the farm gate price, which has us really concerned because how are they going to pay for that?
Right.
You know, they already have some issues with budgeting over there, and boy, that's going to be interesting. But what it does mean is that we usually see about 50 to 100,000 tons smuggled between the two countries, depending upon the year and the price. But I would expect a lot more smuggling over to Ghana from the Ivory Coast, and they're putting measures in to try to prevent that. So pretty exciting from that standpoint, and we'll just see how it progresses. Obviously, low farm gate prices are an indicator that maybe the farmers don't take as good of care of the fields. They don't increase plantings or anything like that. So something definitely to watch.
Yeah, very interesting. So speaking of prices, since we're on that subject, what about the cocoa bean market from a future standpoint? What are your thoughts there?
Oh, boy, that is a great question. A couple things. We've had last year, as I mentioned, a surplus helped bring that market way down. And we've been trading in this range of 1,800 to 2,100 since really the beginning of 2017 and haven't really broke anything past 22 on the upside or lower than 1,800 on the downside. One of the things that's really kept it in check is, you know, we started with expectations of a surplus about 200,000 tons worldwide for this next crop. And now that's more closer to the 50,000 ton, which has helped stabilize the market a little bit. The big thing here, which has been the thing for cocoa, is the speculators. Net short position in the last 30 days, we saw them cover some short positions to help bring the market up a little bit. But really, it's going to take something outside, you know, something big to kind of break this range. And I'll tell you, nothing on the weather front seems to indicate anything drastic either way. So it's really up to the specs. What do they think is going to happen? And just from a coverage bean market standpoint, this may limit any buying interest from the commercial community. And that is that average coverage on beans is more closer to 10 to 11, maybe even 12 months, where we're historically averaged 5 to 7 months. So that should temper, if you will, some of the increases.
Nice use of terminology there. That was good.
Yeah. You knew I was going straight into cocoa powder. Cocoa powder, you know, we've seen low prices in cocoa powder for quite some time. Seen some extended cover there. Not as far as I would have expected and more towards the middle of 2018. But butter's been priced really high. A lot of that is the effects of the Transmar situation and people going out and trying to find new sources and buying from other people and buying spot. So as that butter market looks to trend down, we'll see cocoa powder prices starting to trend up.
Interesting. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, can I call you Willy Wonka moving forward?
Anything you want. I'll take it.
Well, let's close up on corn since I don't think we're quite at the settlement prices, but the market is closed at this point. And you know what? It looks like we may have indeed broken support for the December 17 contract.
Wow.
Looks like we're going to close out at 344 and a half. But unfortunately, well, we'll see how the next session on Monday goes. But as far as the 2018 contracts are concerned, March, yep, we missed it by a quarter of a point. It closed a quarter of a point higher than support posted way back at the end of August. So should make for an interesting Monday, too.
Oh my gosh. Well, I'm sure you have a lot of calls to make to your clients on, hey, what to do now,
right.
But well, great.
Not as exciting as the game last night, but you know, for us futures nerds. Yeah. Pretty intensive stuff.
Well, great. Well, this was a great podcast. Hey, Nicole, always good to talk to you. And thank you to our audience for listening in. Everybody have a great, great, blessed weekend. And if you didn't catch our Hedging 101 webinar that Nicole did yesterday with our partners at Price Futures Group, let us know. Boy, it was a great webinar. You did a great job, Nicole.
Thank you.
Of understanding, explaining the basics of hedging. So, again, have a great weekend, and until next week, guys, take care.
See you later.
That concludes this podcast episode. For more information, visit McKinney-Flavelle.com. Also visit us on LinkedIn for the latest industry news, updates, and intelligence.